Grace and peace be yours. Again, we continue to meet via the internet or the website, however you're seeing this, Facebook. It is Maundy Thursday, the day that the Lord had the supper with the disciples, and so that will be the basis of our meditation. God's peace to you as we hear from the Holy Scriptures. Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 30, and that says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?' He said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And he said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So far the text. So our Lord has given us two sacraments, and meaning them no disrespect at all, I sometimes think of them as this, a bath and a meal. If you think about holy baptism, where God washes away our sins, that's a spiritual bath, right? But there's something about that, that God knows what we need. We need to be cleansed. We need to be fed. And I think in a very literal way, the imagery is very much present for those things, that our God nurtures us. He gives us what we need. He takes care of us. And in his grace and his mercy, he has said, a bath and a meal. Baptism to wash away our sins, and the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ to feed our souls. Those are important things, right? To be cleansed, to be washed, to be renewed, and then also to be nourished, to be fed. It is quite important. One of the things I always remember fondly about Connecticut, where Renee and I were, people would occasionally say to us, "What's your favorite restaurant?" And I would think it was just a question that they were asking, like as a conversation, like, "What's your favorite restaurant?" But what they really were doing is they were surreptitiously asking where they should go and get us a gift card. So they would say, "What's your favorite restaurant?" The most expensive restaurant in Danbury, Connecticut is a place called Cafe on the Green. Food is wonderful there, really fantastic. And so now and again, somebody would say, "What's your favorite restaurant?" I'd say Cafe on the Green. I'd get a gift card to Cafe on the Green. And I quickly learned that if anyone ever asked you your favorite restaurant, what should you say? You should say Cafe on the Green and go there and take your wife out to a nice dinner. But that brings up this thing that this is the first thing I want us to think about with this message, and that is that a meal is fellowship, right? A meal is fellowship. There's something about sitting around a table with other people, and you can sit around a table with anybody and gab anytime you want, but in a meal there's some sharing that goes on, right? There's a pleasantness. There's a unity. We might even say there's a community that goes on as we sit and enjoy a meal together, either going out to a restaurant, going to a friend's house, having a friend come to our house. We enjoy it. It's a time for hospitality and fellowship. And guess what? In the Bible, that's the same way. Actually, if you read the book of Acts, you discover that there were two meals going on. One of them was their agape feasts, pretty much like a potluck right now. Everybody from the church would bring lots of food. They would sit down. They would celebrate. And this is the thing, that they were there in fellowship. that they cared for one another, that they shared with one another, that they would talk about what's going on, how's your mom, how are your kids, all that kind of stuff. That was the agape feast, and they did that on a regular basis. That was one of the meals, and the other meal is this one, the meal of the altar, the sacrament of the altar. Sometimes they would do them together, and sometimes they would kind of confuse their practice. And some of you, if you're remembering St. Paul's letters, will say, why does Paul say that some of them were coming to the sacrament drunk? Remember, that was one of the abuses. They were at the agape feast, overdoing it, and then coming to the sacrament intoxicated. And Paul was, of course, correcting that practice, but it lets us know that there was something about that, about the community and the union that happens in sharing a meal together. And it's, by the way, it's not just the New Testament. The Old Testament lesson appointed for this day, which I didn't read, but you can look up, is Exodus chapter 24, way, way back Old Testament, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 24, Moses and Aaron and the elders go up to the mountain of God, and the Bible literally says this. It says they saw God, and they ate and drank. That's an amazing text, because people often have this idea that if you see God, you'll die. And God, in this case, invited them, come up to the mountain, come into his presence. And the text says they saw God, they ate, and they drank. It's not too much to say that they actually were being invited by God into table fellowship with God himself. That's Exodus 24. And then in Acts 2, verse 42, such an important verse. It tells us about what the early church was like, and it says these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There you have it. The part of the early church was about getting together. As I said, community, we might even say a communion of the saints gathering together in the breaking of bread. A meal is fellowship, but not just in the good sense, right? In the necessary sense. The fellowship where we sit around and talk about sports and weather, that's all fine and good. But there's a sense in which it was also a sharing of concern. One of the things that might happen nowadays is you'll occasionally see a Facebook group message, and you'll see that now. Nowadays, somebody sends out a message to several people and says, we're battling an illness, pray for us. And what do you see after that? A dozen people typing in, you're in our prayers. And then what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the response of, we're doing much better, thanks be to God. That's what we mean when we say that a meal is fellowship, that the church loves one another, we care for one another, that we reach out and we want to know what's going on. So all that is in the good sense. I do need to say one other thing about this. Now that we're in this coronavirus era, don't you miss it. Right? Don't you miss it. I'm glad to have modern technology. We can reach out like this, but it's something missing in our lives that we aren't together, face to face, in this sanctuary together. We should acknowledge that we miss it. And having said that, I want to say one more thing. We should be honest and acknowledge that up till now, our country has sort of drifted a little away from church attendance. Isn't that the case? And now that we can't be here, people will say, I miss it. But we've gotten slack about being in the Lord's house. More and more people say to me that they think if they go to church once a month, that counts as regular attendance. I do need to say this. Once a week is regular church attendance. So this will end our situation. And when it does, let's be back, right? And not when we can get around to it. Not if we don't have other things going on. Let's put church as a priority again. Once a week, because it's a fellowship, it's a community, it's a communion, it's a community of concern, and not just worship attendance, but let's all be in a Bible study group even to grow our faith. So first thing is this, a meal is fellowship. The second thing is a meal is service. How do you get a meal onto a table? Somebody has to do some work to get that done, don't they? There's work, there's preparation, there's planning, there's the cooking, there's the setting, the table. And if you look at the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples, not in Matthew, but over in John chapter 13, they're getting ready to have the meal. What does Jesus do before the meal? He washes their feet. The humblest of jobs. That's a job for a servant. Any of them could have done it, and they don't. Jesus, the Master, the Lord, Jesus, the Savior, stoops down and washes their feet. And I'm sure you've all heard this before, but sandals plus dusty roads? What were those feet like? We should bear that in mind. To wash somebody's foot is not the same thing as polishing somebody's dress shoes, right? Jesus knelt down to the ground and showed his love for them. A meal is service, the opportunity to serve the other. And there's a funny part to that text, that being that Peter was offended. Do you remember that? Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, you're never going to wash my feet." And it's a funny thing. Why did he say that? There's a couple possibilities. One is that he's thinking that Jesus is the Lord, and so this task is beneath him. But the other possibility, and probably more likely, is that Peter is thinking, if our master serves, what does it mean to serve in the church? Right? If Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, God in the flesh, if he serves us, and then we take on a position of leadership in a church, to what exactly have we been called? By the way, it's not bad to serve. It's a good thing, right? And hopefully we divvy it up a little bit. Now, this is a true thing at our house. I'm not much of a cook, but Renee's fantastic. And so Renee tends to cook the meals, and after dinner, we don't have this written down as like chores or anything. I usually clear off the table and put the dishes in the dishwasher. Now, I know those jobs aren't of equal difficulty, but if a meal is a chance to serve, there's always a way to get in there to find something to do and then do that. So a meal is fellowship, but a meal is also service. We want to bear that in mind when we think about communion. And then when we get to communion itself, I want to say one more thing about that, and that is, this meal is Christ himself. It's not any meal. It's Christ himself. It's a Passover meal, yes. They've gathered for the Passover. They've gathered to remember God's acts of salvation in the Old Testament. Israel's been doing this, by the way, once a year for a little more than 1,400 years. And then they get here, and Jesus changes it. You hear his word. What does he say? Very simple words. This is my body. This is my blood. And that's verse 26 and verse 28. What were they thinking? What a tough moment that was for them to process what he was saying. They understand that the Passover lamb is slaughtered. The blood of the Passover lamb is placed on the door. That's our salvation, the death of the lamb. And when Jesus is giving the meal and says, this is my body, this is my blood, what's going to happen to Jesus? His death, his arrest and death tomorrow, actually. The other thing I want to notice is this, is that Jesus uses very simple words, and the verb is. This is my body. This is my blood. And Jesus says this about bread and wine. And isn't it the case that our reason can right away start rushing into saying, oh, he must have meant something else. Even though Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, people will think as a matter of rationality, well, he meant to say, this represents my body, or this is a symbol of my body. He could have chosen those words, and he did not. We want to confess this simple thing. At the table, at the altar, bread and wine, and the body and blood of Christ. I have a simple rule about reading the words of Jesus. Here it is. As a rule, we should take the words of Jesus at face value. When the God-man says, this is my body, this is my blood, we should just accept that to be so. Now, I want to add this. This is where theologians rush in to complicate it, right? And we start talking about one church teaches it this way, a different church teaches it that way, and then we start to argue with one another. I'm not always a fan of Christians beating up on each other over theological things like that. We should stand for the truth, of course, but let's just confess the truth of Scripture. This is his body, this is his blood, and not rush in and start talking about who gets it right and wrong. When in doubt, a theologian will throw out a Latin phrase, right? Isn't that always helpful? I remember at seminary, one day we were sitting around the lunch table talking, And some of my brothers in Christ started to debate other church bodies and literally said, which of these other church bodies has the sacrament? I don't think that's a lovely conversation. All of the Christian churches that read the Word of God and celebrate the sacrament. I wish everybody would be clear and just say, this is my body, this is my blood, but let's not debate who does and doesn't have the sacrament. How can I say, though, that this is his body and this is his blood? Here's the follow-up question we have to ask is, who said this? Right? Who said this? Jesus. Jesus is the God-man. Don't we always confess that? Fully God, fully man. And that gives the sacrament its nature. As a man, he has body and blood, right? When he says, this is my body, this is my blood. He's a man, he has body and blood, but he's also God, and that means he has omnipresence. He has body and blood, but he's God. He can be where he wants. Do we understand all that? Can we explain it all? Do we have a few handy Latin phrases? No, I don't think we're called to do that. You know what we're called to do? Receive it. Receive it. To hear his word, to confess it in all of its simplicity and its power. This is my body. This is my blood. Yes, Lord, we'll receive it. A meal is fellowship and a meal is service, but this meal is Christ himself. And having said that, I'll conclude with this thought. This is the strange year where we're not here in church to receive it. It does kind of break my heart. Every year in my ministry, I have preached on Maundy Thursday about the sacrament, and immediately we preach about the sacrament. What's next? Receiving the sacrament. Not this year. I will say this. This situation will end. Like you, I'm looking forward to being here. Do you miss it? Yeah, we do. We will be back in church, and when we are, we will receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins in the holy meal that he himself established to receive the benefits of Christ and his community. I look forward to that day. May it be soon. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you his favor and his peace. Amen.